As promised, we've got a couple of special guests here in the studio to talk about an important question that most of us, possibly even all of us, will face at some point in our lives, some of us many times. When you get injured, when you need medical treatment, do you go to the emergency room or do you go to urgent care? Again, not always an easy or obvious decision to make, but we're joined by a couple special guests who can help us break it down. Dr. Ronnie Laney and Dr. David Gregg, both representing the Orange County Medical Society, which is sponsoring this conversation. Dr. Laney, Dr. Gregg, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Same here.
So first of all, introduce yourselves. Dr. Laney, we'll start with you. Who are you? Where do you practice?
So my name is Dr. Ronnie Laney. I'm a family physician by training. I did my residency here at UNC Chapel Hill. I practice currently in a walk-in clinic in Alamance County in Burlington.
Awesome. And Dr. Gregg, I assume you represent the ER side of things?
That is correct. I'm a board-certified emergency medicine, did my residency training at Carolinas Medical Center in Charlotte, Level 1 Trauma Center, a very busy, crazy place. And now I work primarily in a smaller community hospital here in the Triangle.
Awesome. So what's the difference between urgent care and the emergency room? As we're trying to answer this question, start breaking that down first. What are the differences between the two facilities?
So I would think, I'll start with saying that the ER typically offers all comers. It offers all diagnostic testing, offers all treatment modalities usually, and accepts all comers. Mm-hmm. Urgent care is a little bit more defined. We typically don't have like CT scans, MRIs, but we do offer x-ray, phlebotomy, blood testing, and can treat most minor illnesses that are non-threatening.
Awesome.
I think Ronnie covered it pretty thoroughly.
Awesome. So you get injured or you need medical treatment, you're making that decision, okay, I definitely need to be seen by someone now. I can't wait to make an appointment for days from now or however long. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to do it now, but I have to make that decision. I'm going to the ER. I'm going to urgent care. What are the criteria that I should be using to make that decision?
I don't think there's any absolute clear-cut criteria. Mm-hmm. It does depend on what time of day is it. Is there an urgent care available?
Right.
Are you ambulatory? Is the injury severe enough that you can't even get somewhere using just your normal vehicle? And then it's a matter of how bad does the injury look? And of course, you don't know for sure. I wouldn't expect anybody off the street to know exactly to be able to tell the difference just looking at it, a broken ankle versus a sprained ankle. So I think it's the severity of your situation, the availability of an urgent care versus an emergency department. And then it does come down to, how am I going to pay for this care? Because care is not free. It's just kind of the way things work here, and figuring out what their options are for taking care of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. I would say in general, though, and the question is very gray. I mean, it's a very broad topic. But I would also say that, it's a hard question to answer. I think most things, obvious, other than the obvious life-threatening illnesses, gunshot wounds, your chest pains, mm-hmm. You're bleeding out, could be handled by an urgent care. But also, too, the difference is we can get you to the emergency department if we think that's where you need to be, versus the opposite. The ER can't really kick you out to my mm-hmm. side. It doesn't kind of work both ways.
Right. Speaking with Dr. Ronnie Laney, you just heard him, Dr. David Gregg as well. We're talking about this distinction between the urgent care facility and the emergency room. And it's funny because, not ha-ha funny, but interesting, because this exact same question just kind of happened to me a couple of weeks ago. My husband had gotten into a car accident, which fortunately was minor enough that he was significant car accident. He was fine, walked away, but definitely needed treatment that day. And we had to face that decision. And it's a decision that invariably gets thrust upon you very quickly, because you don't wake up in the morning knowing that this is something that's going to happen to you later in the day necessarily. But do you go to urgent care? Do you go to the emergency room? And those were kind of the factors that we considered. Is there one open? Yes, there is. Can we get there easily? Is this something that's clearly life-threatening? Is it something that requires some immediate life-threatening intervention? And in that case, it didn't. So we went to the urgent care, and it was the right decision. But this is a difficult decision, I think, for a lot of people. What are some of the, like you mentioned a couple, I think, particular conditions that if you have them, you go straight to the emergency room? Are there some where if you have them, you shouldn't even think about the emergency room? You should go to the urgent care?
I would not approach it that way.
Okay.
I think that there is always, you do this long enough and you will realize that even the most kind of minor symptoms sometimes can be the harbinger of something more serious. Mm-hmm. And I definitely would not want to encourage folks to go rush to the emergency department for any particular, you know, for everything. But we always have to keep an open mind, and you do have to kind of be your own judge. And obviously, if you've got a great primary care office that you can be seen, you know, in a reasonable period of time, and some places are so busy they have a hard time getting their walk-ins or their urgent, you know, visits done within more than a day or two. So I think you have to kind of use your own personal judgment for the less minor stuff. But if you're having trouble standing up, and you normally can do that, if you can't complete a sentence because your shortness of breath is so bad, mm-hmm. If you're having such bad chest pain or abdominal pain that you've never experienced before, then I think you've got to go somewhere. And usually I think if you come into an urgent care with one of those sets of symptoms and you look ill enough, they are going to send you down the road to the nearest emergency department, potentially even by ambulance. There is, as Dr. Laney said, that there is so much of this is gray, and that mm-hmm. does create the challenge that there is no easy solution for.
And this is one of the first things that we experienced when we walked into urgent care is they do, not triage necessarily, but they do assess you mm-hmm. immediately when you walk in the door. Like, is this something that you need to be moved to the front of the line? Is this something that you need to be transported down the road to the emergency room? They can do that right away, pretty
Absolutely.
Much, right?
Yeah. In fact, that happens at my clinic. Mm-hmm. There's something we call the doctor of the day. So each day, one of our physicians is assigned to that responsibility. So if there's a concerning chief complaint, the nurse will bring that case to the physician, mm-hmm. and we go over the case, and they decide pretty much immediately where that person needs to be. Can we see them, or do we need to send them?
You mentioned, or kind of hinted at, differences in costs. What are the differences? Are there differences in insurance or things like that?
There are. I think the major thing is that the ER, and Dr. Gray can correct me, accepts all comers. They
right.
have to. Urgent cares vary greatly just because they have the decision to accept or not accept insurance plans, even Medicaid, or uninsured patients. Now, by and large, most of them do accept most everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, the average urgent care costs is maybe $150, a couple hundred dollars, could be cheaper with certain copays, mm-hmm. to several hundred, never really entering the $1,000 range. The ER may be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the breakdown of fees in an emergency department visit can be very, you know, difficult to decipher, because you may wind up getting separate bills from different entities for an emergency department visit. As soon as you set foot in the emergency department, there is a facility fee that the hospital needs to charge to keep the lights on, you know, 24/7, 365 days a week, and that's just part of their doing business. And those facility fees can dramatically vary depending on geography, the size of the hospital, and whatnot. And then there's the fees, or, you know, the charges associated with whatever tests may be done, with whatever treatments you may receive. And then any physicians or other providers involved in your care may not actually work for the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that is part of keeping the lights on all the time. There is a cost, an increased cost associated with that, even though the care ultimately delivered may be comparable to what would be delivered in an urgent care. To have it there all the time, there has to be some degree of premium placed on that. And depending on your insurance, you may have a deductible that you have to meet first, or you may only pay a percentage of that cost.
Speaking with Dr. David Gregg and Dr. Ronnie Laney, what are the misconceptions? What do people not know about the emergency room and how it works? Or what is it that people think they know that they in fact don't?
I think a lot of folks come to the emergency department expecting clear-cut answers for whatever is troubling them. If they've had an acute injury, that's one thing. But if they come in with a symptom, chest pain, abdominal pain, headache, unfortunately, the emergency department, I will kind of jokingly say with my patients, we're not the answer department. We're not even going to always tell you exactly what's causing your pain or other discomfort. And we have to use our judgment to decide how far to go to evaluate, do you have an emergency medical condition? That is the technical term used by there's a federal law in place since the 80s that mandates that we have to evaluate patients for these conditions. And if we don't think one of these conditions exists, our mandate to take care of you is over. We're still going to do everything that we can to try to make you comfortable, but we're not obligated to give you an answer for why you have abdominal pain. We're not obligated to do a CT scan, which is an expensive high radiation test that's great for ruling out surgical emergencies, but for your six-year-old that is much more likely to be constipated, we don't want to go to that level of testing. Mm-hmm. So that uncertainty that we have to work with is, I think, one of the misconceptions that folks do have about the emergency department, is that we're not going to always be able to tell them exactly what's going on.
You were nodding during that. Is it the kind of the same thing
for
urgent care?
Yeah. I always tell patients, you know, I may not be able to tell you what this is, but I can tell you what it's not. And our job is to kind of rule out certain things. I can do my testing that I can do and tell you that it's not this, this, and this. It's not life-threatening. But at the end of the day, I may not have an answer for you. And that's what primary care can step in and follow this patient over a prolonged period of time and do more testing and get them referred to other specialties.
Yeah, even the ability to rule things out can be reassuring.
Absolutely.
Like extremely reassuring. I've had that experience myself. Speaking with Dr. Ronnie Laney and Dr. David Gregg, other things that people need to know about urgent care facilities, ERs, the distinction between them that people ought to know?
I don't know. I think when you come into the emergency department, you know, the sick rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And if you really have something concerning going on in the middle of the night and you don't even have the option to go to urgent care and you feel the need to go seek care, just be patient. If you have been identified as the sickest person in the emergency department or in that sickest cohort, you will rise to the top and be reassured overall by the fact if you're having to wait, you know, in the emergency department, especially during cold and flu season, we're seeing a lot of folks with a lot of symptoms that can be concerning, but their vital signs kind of guide us to who do we need to get to first. And if you will get seen, it's that waiting game that so many factors play into as to when you will actually be seen. Mm-hmm. And you may ultimately still get the kind of end diagnosis of, I think it's a virus. I think you get the reassurance of, I think this is what is most likely going on. There is no immediate cure or treatment, but please come back if things look worse. And just being patient with, you know, wait times is a key thing.
Dr. Laney?
I think a few points I would make is that, number one, let's keep in mind, as Dr. Gregg said earlier, always seek care. Don't get caught up in the decision. Don't be deterred by factors of cost or wait times. Just at least seek care. Number two, I would say try to get a primary care. A lot of times urgent cares and ERs are the first place that people get care. And we have new diagnoses of long-term chronic conditions. So always get a primary care because sometimes that's the cheaper, faster option and the better option for you. And remember, please keep in mind that the ER is really the place for the sickest of people. Mm-hmm. If you really do think you have a minor condition, please seek your primary care doctor or an urgent care.
Dr. Ronnie Laney, Dr. David Gregg, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.